This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Hi, Ira. How you doing, first of all? You hanging in there?
I'm good here, but I'm on airport Wi-Fi. So hopefully this works. If not, I'll be glad to switch over to the phone. You let me know.
No, dude, it sounds great. You got this festive look back there with the trees and everything. It's a beautiful thing there. That's nice, man. Thank you very much.
I got to the airport early just to set up the backdrop for you to make it work. So this is our holiday special from the beautiful Cleveland Hopkins Airport.
I love it. Great job by you. Not a great job last night by the Heat. Obviously short of Butler and Tyler and stuff, so... Things didn't go well. 113-87. Cavs are actually a pretty damn good team overall. Miami, not looking. Look, on a night where I get it, he's not Mr. Offense, but he said he wanted to take 18 plus shots a game. Even Bam, on a night where he could have taken 28 shots in a game, still only took 14. But another ugly performance by the boys last night.
Yeah, you know, Big O, but I was actually just looking through the box scores, and I did notice this. The Heat have not played a game with Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo in the lineup together since the November 1 home victory over the Warriors. So if you're going to tell me the Heat aren't a good team without Bam, I'll agree, like the losses we saw in Toronto and Washington. If you're going to say they're not a good team without Jimmy Butler, I mean, heck, we saw the playoff runs two of the last 3 years. He was everything. And Tyler Hero obviously is the offense they need. So if you're going to tell me the Miami Heat are a bad team when two of those three have missed games consistently, I'm going to fully agree with that. This is a league without a great margin of error, let alone a team without a great margin of error. If they don't get healthy soon, they're just going to keep stumbling, because that's the way the league works. You know, look at the Dolphins with Tua and without Tua, two different football teams. I think the Heat are similar without Jimmy Butler and the rest of their guys also.
Last night, Kyle Lowry, after a terrific night the night before, last night, 31 minutes, 2 of 10, 1 of 7 from three-point range, 3 assists, 5 turnovers. You know, that's you needed Lowry to be good last night. And it's just he's really shown that he can really not be a lead player on this team at all. He can only facilitate on his best nights.
Again, he's 36 years old. You mentioned this when he signed a 3-year, $85 million contract at 35 years old. So expect someone at 36 to be an all-of-the-time player. There's only one guy in the league who meets that right now, and that's LeBron James. And everyone else, you get it some of the time. I think Kyle Lowry is fine as a number four option when you have Bam, when you have Jimmy, when you have Tyler. But when you don't is when, more often than not, you wind up getting exposed in that situation. So again, it's really the other three guys not having to carry Kyle, but having to make it easier for him. They knew what they were doing when they signed a 35-year-old player. This is what you get. You get a fantastic 51-minute performance in Washington, and then you get something far less. Hey, look, Big O, I'm off to Minnesota right now for a game against the Timberwolves tonight. What do you think Kyle Lowry at 36 is going to have on the second night of a back-to-back?
No, I don't expect him to have much at this point.
If he plays, yeah.
If he plays. So what do we know about all these injuries? What's going to happen? When are we getting these guys back? Because you're falling deeper into the abyss now. You're 7-10. You're 3 games under 500. I don't even expect you to win tonight against Minnesota.
Oh, I don't see how. They're 9-point favorites. And once the Heat injury report comes out, they'll probably be even larger favorites. Minnesota is not listing a single injury on their injury report. They have 3 players in the G League, everyone else available. With Jimmy, it's a matter of he wants to make sure he feels right. And honestly, Big O, I think Jimmy at 33 is at a point in his career where he figures he could take about quarter of the schedule off every year. And that's not acceptable for this team and where they are. If this was a team like the Celtics with Robert Williams being prudent with his knee, I have no issue with that. If this was a team like the Bucks where Brooke Lopez was very careful last season, I have no issue. But as you mentioned, there's no margin of error. Jimmy Butler can't be a missed 20 games player, even if he wants to. So I am curious how he deals with this knee pain, because they need him Wednesday against Washington. They need him Wednesday against Washington. Washington Friday against Washington, because then look at the trip. They are right back out on the road next Sunday at Atlanta, at Boston, at Memphis. So it's almost like those two home games are must-win games just to stay close to 500. So you have that. You have Tyler Herro with the ankle sprain, who the Heat were fully expecting to be on this trip. And then as the plane was leaving for Toronto last week, he goes, no, I'm going to stay behind. I'm going to work on my ankle here. I don't think that's what the team was expecting. There was a thought he was going to meet the team yesterday here in Cleveland. He didn't make the trip. So again, you know, it's what you always talk about and everyone talks about. There are injuries and there is pain. You don't play through an injury because you can make things worse. But if you're a professional, you play through pain. So you have that going on. And to his credit, Bam pushed back as hard as he could, took the trip, traveled with the team, missed two games, but came back last night. So I think of all three, I think Bam has shown the most so far from that degree.
How many games has Tyler missed in his career already? Because I'm starting to look to me like he's an injury-prone player now. Because it's like every year he's missing games, right?
Yeah, the answer would be a lot. And again, when you look at that kind of build he has, and he has spent time in the gym trying to put muscle on, but it's almost the same thing as Nikola Jovic right now. When you are more spindly and like that, you tend to be more prone for those kind of things. We know that he'd have a very good conditioning department, have a very good weight training staff. But with Tyler, it's been sort of all these little knick-knack injuries that add up over the year. Yeah, we've seen that the last three seasons. The Heat need Tyler Herro at that pay grade going forward to be an everyday player. The fact is that the Heat have so many guys who aren't everyday players. That tells you right now why this season's a crap show.
I'm starting to think that, dude, I feel bad for him. It seems like they've made a lot of bad decisions lately. I don't know if this Tyler contract's any good. I don't think the Duncan contract's not looking good the way you're playing him and what you're paying him. The Lowry contract's absolutely terrible. The Butler contract, the back end of it is going to be absolutely horrible.
But Big O, I'm going to interrupt you there because the Butler deal on the back.
You're paying Bam to be a franchise player, and he's a super role player.
I'll go through those right now. First of all, you're paying Bam what the market dictated. And if you didn't, someone else would have. And for a team that doesn't have a lot of draft choices and deals draft choices, you have to pay the market. You can get stuck a little. Yes. So what you do is you're paying a star player superstar money. You're behind the curve. The Jimmy thing is that's what you had to do. Let's be honest, Big O. 2020 NBA Finals, Jimmy was everything anyone in the league was at that time.
Last season
in the playoffs, I know he missed the three, but he was as good as anyone through three rounds also. So you have to pay the back end to get that right now. I have no issue. The thing about Tyler is the money doesn't kick in till next season. Maybe it clicks. Maybe he gets it then. So I'm going to wait on that. Kyle was always to keep Jimmy happy. You know, they could. I wrote that on my Ask Ira today at the Sun Sentinel. When people go, the Heat are letting Jimmy down. They're not surrounding him with talent. He is the one who asked for Kyle Lowry. Exactly. He made his bed. And when you make your bed like that, you have to live with it. Because believe me, if Jimmy Butler wasn't pushing that hard for Kyle Lowry, I am sure that Andy Ellisberg and Pat Riley and Adam Simon and Nick Arison probably would have had better ways to spend their money and also not had to give up on Goran Dragic and Precious Achiuwa. So really, this is what Jimmy wished for. Now it's up to him to make it work.
Yeah, but it's easy for him and Kyle to live with it because they got big fat ass salaries. Jimmy's got his Michelob and his airplane, but it's the fans that have got to watch their old asses break down under those contracts. And Jimmy's going to know the position that he's in, like, wow, I screwed up by bringing this guy in because now I can't complain because I brought him in and he can't get it done because he's too old. So now I'm in a rock and a hard place. Well, I guess I'm going to Lupe Fiasco. I'm going to kick, push, and coast.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy has that in him. I think the one thing about Jimmy, and maybe that's why he hasn't played the last couple of games. I think if Jimmy plays, he goes all in and all out. Maybe the injuries might limit him, but he's always going to push himself. I mean, what he did on that block against Devin Booker at the end of the game against Phoenix, that was just 1 week ago. What he did against Charlotte with that 35-point game that he put together. He plays hard. He might not play all the time, but when he plays hard. But you're right. Those contracts right now on the Heat overall scale do not look good. But this is what this franchise has always done, Big O. They sell their soul for the home run. They sold their Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley soul for Victor Oladipo on the hope it would be something. That's another guy who hasn't been here all season. That makes a difference also. So you know what? You always talk about this, Big O. We're impressed because Pat Riley swings for the fences. But you know what happens when you swing for the fences all the time? You wind up like John Carlos Stanton, and you wind up striking out a lot as well.
Yeah, it's and that's what it looks like right now. So let me ask you, is there a deadline of implosion? Is there a deadline where you just say, you know, this is looking like the DeVille Hotel. We need to kind of
tear it down.
We need to kind of tear it down. And if we can move anything that we can possibly move, we do it. Is there anything to move? And you tell me, or is it come hell or high water? This is what we got, boys. Let's get to it.
The sort of inside story on this team has always been this. They wait till the trade deadline. They wait to midseason. They wait to see if there's still a chance. If you remember 2008, then all of a sudden you brought in Cassip Powell and Stefan Lazmi and Blake Ahern. You went in that direction. We've seen them do that before. The year they got the Justice Winslow pick when they played all those guys in Philadelphia the last game of the season, 48 minutes. But it won't be this early. Because I got to tell you, Big O, I don't know how it can happen cap-wise. But if you take this team and it's healthy and you simply add in a Jay Crowder, I think it could turn on a dime. Now, I don't know how you're going to make that happen, but I think as long as Pat Riley and the front office see an escape hatch, they're more likely to pursue that outcome than to kick it all to the can. Now, I will say this. The next time you see all the Heat coaches taking French lessons, that's when I'll say they're sort of putting it aside and moving to the lottery.
All right. Do we know injury-wise anything going into this game tonight? Because I just fear watching. I mean, watching it last night was just—it was tough to watch, man.
Well, God, again, you know that Tyler.
Lose too.
Yeah, you know that Tyler and Jimmy and Omer Yurtsevich are back in Miami. You know that Victor Oladipo is traveling and not playing. You know that Gabe Vincent left the locker room wearing a knee brace yesterday. Duncan Robinson left the locker room hobbling because he had the ankle sprain. So all of those guys could be out. So it basically could be the same we saw last night. Except it'll be Kyle Lowry on the second night of a back-to-back and Bam with a knee bruise on the second night of a back-to-back. So I think that's what's going to make it more interesting tonight. I'm not sure interesting is the right word.
The Miami MASH unit on the road tonight in Minnesota. All right. Ira, be safe in your travels, my friend. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat and subscribe to his exceptional work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, we will catch you on Wednesday, my friend. Thank you.
I'm going to try to grab one of these Christmas trees and get it on the plane. Don't know if I can pull it off, but we'll see. Thanks, Big O.
You got it. There you go. We look forward to Ira being on the news. It's ugly. You know, I love Bam the player and the person, but as you all know, I don't look at him as a franchise player. In order for you to be a franchise player in the NFL and in the NBA, here's my definition of today's NBA player. Dennis Rodman and Ben Wallace. They could be superstars back in the day. Basketball was different then. In today's basketball, defense doesn't dominate anymore because all the rules are offense. So in order for you to be a superstar in this league, in my definition of a superstar, you must be able to impose your will offensively. Something that Bam Adebayo cannot do. Okay? I'm at that point now, by the way. Not if or he can or he's got it. No, he can't do it. It's not in him. Jimmy Butler. We've gotten the best you could possibly get out of Jimmy Butler already. I don't know how much more you're going to get out of it. I don't believe you're going to get that much more out of it. In fact, I think it's only going to get worse from here on out. And that body can only do one thing, break down from here on out, because it's got a lot of mileage, a lot of wear and tear. And remember, because some people like to, you know, harp on the minutes, it's also the practice time that he went through with Thibodeau. I put a lot of mileage on that body. Kyle Lowry, I never liked that deal from the get-go, and it's proven 1,000% right that it's a shit contract. Okay? Duncan Robinson, while I understand why you had to pay him, but you had to move him, unfortunately. He's too limited offensively. Not just defensively. He can only shoot. Doesn't do enough of anything else in the offensive game. Tyler Hero is a sack of injuries. Constantly injured. So you want him to build up his body so he can play better defense. I want him to build up his body so it doesn't break down. And then you sign Victor Oladipo, a guy that you've been waiting for to capture, to recapture the magic of 4 years ago. That was 4 years ago. Not going to happen, man. So unfortunately, as much as I love the Heat, I think they have tied themselves down to a lot of bad contracts. Again, by the way, like they did with the Journeyman. And they tied themselves down to the Johnsons. Right? And the Whiteside. And was the other, was the two Johnsons, Whiteside. Oh, and Deion Jordan. My God. You gave a man a contract that you knew needed surgery. So I got to tell you something. They've gotten a lot of production. They were shot away from the NBA Finals, all those things. Good things have happened, you know, the last couple of years. I don't know if it's going to continue, to be quite honest. I just don't think these were good decisions. You know? So, it sucks. That is your Acura Pembroke Pines Miami Heat and NBA report.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
All right, all right, all right. There he is. How you feeling, Ira? How was the turkey?
I get to talk to you after a win. I'm feeling probably better than the previous couple of Acura Pembroke Pines reports that we've done.
Yeah, no, but listen, that was a nice performance. You're missing several people, and Lowry came up with a hell of a performance. I thought Bam played well, and my favorite performance was Caleb. And you know, one of the things that I wanted to start with you on is while Caleb may not be looked at as a scoring machine, but I think he's kind of a rhythm player. And one of the things that when he first broke out with the Heat, he was on a roll and he was given a rhythm. He was given a certain amount of shots almost every night, and he was able to get in a real groove. And then I forgot now whether it was injury or somebody came back from injury or something that then derailed his minutes, and then he never really got back into the groove again. I think now because of the injuries, it's allowed him to get in a groove again. I don't want to lose this groove. I want to keep him in this groove because the one thing I like about Caleb, and I know that the coaching has to like this, and so does probably Pat Riley, he's such a complete player. And he helps you when he's on the floor, and if he's in an offensive rhythm, it's a glorious thing to watch because he's going to help you out defensively. He's going to facilitate. He's going to steal some balls. He's going to get some rebounds. He's just going to fill up the stat sheet. And I'm just a big fan of that kid. And I just think that if you can somehow give him the opportunity, and I know that there's only one basketball, but I just kind of feel that you've talked about this 100 times. You know, maybe we got to do the Ginobili thing. We got to say, hey, Tyler, we love you, but we need that energy off the bench. You're going to get the same amount of minutes practically. You'll probably finish games with us. But I love this whole thing with Caleb kind of being part of the initial group.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you and agree with you. I think what you said there about when he came off the bench, he had more opportunity. In a way, he's getting more opportunity now because there is no bench and everyone's injured. Because he didn't have to defer for 8 games with Tyler Hero until Wednesday. He hasn't had to defer the last 5 games without Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a lineup that's so loaded, when you have Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Tyler Hero, he's the fifth wheel on a four-wheel car in that starting lineup. But when he played off the bench last season as an energizer, the canvas was his. It was maybe Tyler Hero out there, but really with maybe Robinson and Vincent and Deadman, and it was his opportunity. I think he so appreciates where he fits that he takes a back seat when Jimmy's in there, when Tyler's in there, when Bam is in there, and when Hero is in there. There are certain guys, they might deserve Big O to start, but they're better suited to play off the bench. And I think that he'd have two of those, and that's two of the issues this season. Number one is Caleb Martin as an energizer off the bench, different player. Number two is Tyler Hero as a create my shot first type of player, better off the bench. Why was Tyler Hero so good in the fourth quarter the other night? Jimmy Butler wasn't there. Yeah. It wasn't a matter of having to look to Jimmy in the post, get him to the free throw line, feed Jimmy. He can do that. The Heat have the talent to be successful. But a lot of times it's like playing Tetris and trying to get those blocks to fit in with each other. And that's what the Heat have not achieved right now. The primary starting lineup has only played seven games this season, not once since November 1st of Adebayo, Martin, Hero, Butler, and Lowry. But even then, Big O, it was just 3-4 to start the season. So it's not like there were dramatic results then. This could take a big pair by Eric Spoelstra to sit down and say, guys, we gave it a chance. But guys, I didn't plan on being 7-11, 8-11, maybe hopefully after tonight, 9-11. We have to get back. We have to win the season when we were the number one seed. We got to get back to where players fit in their best roles. With Caleb, it's not a problem. You could move Caleb out. You could play Nikola Jovic for token minutes as a starter. With Tyler, it's different. He ended the season, I want to be a starter. Pat Riley said, earn your way as a starter. Tyler said, I went to camp and earned my way as a starter. I started the season. What have I done wrong not to be a starter? And again, it's not through any fault of his own. This is when all those stories Eric Spoelstra tells us about sacrifice and selflessness come into play for the greater good of the team. Are you willing to do that? And you know what, Big O? Basketball is a team sport. But the way basketball is played in this era with these contracts and these endorsements, it's also very much an individual sport. This may be the hardest part of all of coaching for Eric Spoelstra and others, to get players to fit in a role they see is better for the team, but the player might not see is better for the player.
So it's a hell of a dilemma right now, you know, and I do worry about still if they have enough power in that rotation. And I know it's not necessarily a game of power, but I still think the rebounding is going to be needed, especially against some of these teams that are high-powered offenses. You don't want to keep giving them on nights where you're going to give them a second and third chance, and that's what's going to end up burying you. So I still worry about that. What's the latest with Jimmy Butler, by the way?
I got to say I'm shocked because, again, this is just being discussed as soreness and discomfort, not as a quote-unquote injury. On the injury report, there's nothing there. There's no official wording of it. It's not a torn this or a bruise that or a, you know, or a strain or a sprain of something. It's just discomfort. I've always thought if you just have discomfort and your team is losing, you deal with the discomfort and you get on the court. Now, you, Big O, have spoken all along about the older roster, about Kyle being 36 and Jimmy being 33, and you have to preserve them. You've also spoken about Jimmy getting a five-year extension with three more years on it. You're going to pay the guy. You need the guy to be out there. This is the push-pull right now. I think some of it has to do with the opponent. You can get away without Jimmy Butler against the Wizards. We saw that a week ago Friday. They got away with everyone, and they still were in overtime. And honestly, they were up 5 points with like 36 seconds to go in regulation. Should have won the game.
Yeah.
You got away without Jimmy Butler on Wednesday, even though it went down to the wire. So you probably can buy another game. But I will tell you this, Big O. After tonight's game, or whatever you want to call the arena, on Sunday at Atlanta Hawks, on Wednesday at Boston Celtics, on Friday at Boston Celtics, the following Monday at Memphis Grizzlies, without Jimmy Butler in the Heat lineup against Atlanta, Boston, Memphis, it's completely different than him sitting out, even against Minnesota and against Washington. So maybe today is the last day of the sort of, okay, Jimmy, we'll let you have the time you think you need. You've had more than a week to rest the knee, but now we're at critical mass. Because Big O, even if they win tonight, and they go to 9-11 at the 20-game mark, the de facto quarter mark of the season, you still have, you know, ground to gain. You have to go at least 2-2 on that trip, I would think, to come back home. Okay, softer schedule, Detroit, San Antonio, Orlando. You can get over 500. But this reminds me of when they went out on the last trip. They beat Phoenix. Hey, we're great. We're 500. We're going to make our move. And then they lost all four games. Right. So I think Jimmy needs to suck it up. And like Eric Spoelstra said after that game in Minnesota, hey, if you can only give us 20 minutes instead of our usual 30, give it to us. If you can give us 12 minutes instead of our usual 20, give it to us. They'll need some form of Jimmy Butler to be competitive against Atlanta, Boston, and Memphis.
Interesting stuff, man. By the way, this whole thing with the arena, what are they going to do with the name finally?
Well, again, they get paid in advance. So if they take the name off, then they're in, to a degree, the county is breaking their agreement for the money already received. I believe the next payment is due in January, but this is a very moral and ethical dilemma also.
Right.
That if you knew someone was involved in what apparently is being investigated as a criminal enterprise,
oh, it is
associated with it. In other words, before Bernie Madoff was convicted, he still was charged and it was apparent what was going on with this Ponzi scheme. Would you have wanted to remain Bernie Madoff Arena?
No.
Because he made the donation, or in this case, the sponsorship? No.
No.
I think that's where FTX Arena is regarded with the county is, it's just not a good look right now. People have been cheated out of millions and millions and billions of dollars by this scam because of what went on, you know, with an operation out of the Bahamas, and they want to get that scrubbed. But if they scrub it now, they also scrub the dollars. And all of a sudden, when you're in bankruptcy and those dollars have to return to the bankruptcy court, you're never going to see it again. And that money was being used to fuel a social program, an anti-gun violence program in Dade County. So it's a real dilemma. The ethical part of you says, scrub that name, get the sanding machine out on the court before tonight's game. But the reasonable part of you says, but we're not in a position to give up that money either. And again, at Big O, you can't just lose one title sponsor one day and have one up there the next day. It's a whole negotiation, like when they went for American Airlines.
Sure.
Look at the Panthers. They don't have one. Right now it's FLA Live Arena.
Well, they could call it Heat Live Arena too if they want to.
They could, but to get a new sponsor for actual real money takes a while. What did it take the Marlins? Like a decade before they became
they're not the Heat. Come on, let's not. There's a lot of corporations that would love to partner themselves up with the Miami Heat. That's a great organization to partner yourself up with and be a title sponsor. The Heat, I think, will have no problem finding a title sponsor. The Marlins, well, that's a whole different ballgame. You don't really win. You don't really do things to represent that name in the right way. You're not going to be in the playoffs. You're not going to have packed houses. The Heat, dude, they have a. I was at the Suns game the other night. I was sitting there in the lower bowl. It was a fantastic atmosphere, dude. The place was packed in the middle of the week. It was great. It was great.
The problem is,
you'll never get that at the Marlins.
The deal was negotiated through the county. So there's only X amount of Heat influence. The county's looking to get their dollar. The county felt they were not getting their best share with the previous agreement. Then American Airlines stepped aside. So there's a push-pull. And as you know, Big O, when government gets involved, it's never simple.
No,
it's
I know.
It's never business. It's always something more also. There's a political angle there also.
Although she sounded, and I'm talking about Mrs. Cava, I think, is it Cava, her last name? She sounded pretty, like, she was dead set on getting rid of that name off the arena. And I get that they need the revenue, but the problem is that's such an embarrassment right now, and there are so many people that unfortunately lost their money.
I agree, and
it's not a good look.
And if you notice my stories of the Sun Sentinel, I say the visiting Wizards, a Heat home game on the Heat's court.
Sure.
I believe the Heat broadcast is using the Heat's house right now. Everyone's trying to distance themselves, but every time that camera pans back and forth, FTX Arena, FTX Arena, you can't deny it. Look, they got the visibility because they spent the money,
right?
So they were on the court. But now you sort of wind up with the embarrassment of because of that. But if you wash it off right now, there's a financial implication also. And there's a legal implication also. You have to play it both ways.
If they would have listened to me, if they listened to this show, I told them a few days before they closed down, I said, get your money out, dude. Get your money out. Oh, God, man.
Maybe we should go the other way. And instead of all these deals Big O has with Acura Pembroke Pines, with RedRecovery.com, how about the Big O Show Arena?
There you go. Now that would be that. You know, the Heat would never lose. They would win title after title.
One more thing. And I got to tell you one more thing. I was in the airport the other day, as you remember, in Cleveland doing the show. And I told the guy who was sitting across from me at the airport table, I apologize. I'm going to be a little loud. I have to do a radio segment. He says, no problem. I'm just reading email. So I do the show with you, and I keep saying, big O, big O, big O. Remember, we're in Ohio.
Okay.
And I get done, and the guy goes, wow, was that Oscar Robertson? And I'm like, yeah, not exactly. Not a sort of, but not exactly. That was the Cuban Oscar Robertson, and I went that way. But he was very impressed. For 20 minutes, all he kept hearing was, big O, big O, big O.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. I love that. Marcel, by the way, is walking the streets of Detroit, and he goes by this store, and they on the TV, he hears his voice, and they're actually watching our game. They're actually watching our show after the game against the Lions. And so it's like the guy then sees Marcel and goes, hey, that's you. So somewhere in Detroit, they were watching our show. How about that? So it's getting around, man. It's getting around. The show's gotten around. We're blessed. That's for sure. What do you think about tonight?
Must win. And I know it sounds weird that a game against the Washington Wizards must win, but we have to wait to see. Bradley Beal's questionable. He didn't play on Wednesday. Obviously, in a game that's a four-point game, two-point game, Bradley Beal can make a difference. We'll have to see on that. We still have the Heat injury situation. Obviously, Jimmy's out. You have doubtful with Max Strus and Duncan Robinson. So you're probably going to need maybe a little bit more from Tyler Hero. You got to get this one. You got to get this one, Big O, because what is next? Atlanta, Boston, Boston, Memphis. That's going to be a brutal trip, just like the last trip was. You can't afford another 0-4. You lose this one, and you go 0-4 also, and all of a sudden you're 7 games under .500. That's a mountain to reach by midseason.
You good with the Patrick Beverley suspension?
Yeah, and again, I think that's the recidivist fine. And a guy like that who can be a danger to his fellow NBA players, you got to come down hard and send a message. This wasn't the first time. It wasn't the second time. Probably not the third or fourth or fifth time either.
No, that's the problem. He has that reputation. And, man, you just can't you can't put people at risk. And there's a lot of money involved. You get DeAndre Ayton injured. Yeah. You set that franchise back big time. And let me tell you, I've always been a proponent of the dirty hit guys. They need to be suspended as long as whoever they injured is out. And if you injured some guy that's out for 2 months, well, then your suspension's for 2 months,
too. Well, that's the Nikola Jokic thing last year with Markieff Morris. And when you issue the fine and the suspension, you don't know how long it's going to last. And not only did it impact Markieff Morris that year, but based on him not playing, you can make an argument that almost impacted his career as well.
Yep, no doubt. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heapy. Catch his work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, have a fantastic weekend, my friend. We'll catch up on Monday.
Actually, I'll catch up on Tuesday. Remember,
that's right.
I'm traveling
Tuesday.
To Boston. Tuesday from Boston, Beantown. I'll bring a little nice cannoli from Little Italy. It'll be good for both of us. Thank you, Oscar Robertson. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, Ira. Appreciate you. All right, good stuff there. That is our look around the Miami Heat.